Hello, everybody.
Welcome back to Zero from the Box.
I'm Gianna.
And I'm Marie.
And this is the show where we answer your questions.
Always.
Unless you don't ask. Yeah.
We can ask questions. It's okay. That's why Reddit exists, right?
Yeah, and that's the topic of today.
Always. It's a good, faithful topic to come back to. But you have your own question, don't you, Gianna?
Yeah. And I guess it's not so much a question as in, like, something that I really hope people can, like, relate to and, like...
Yeah.
You know, so this past weekend has been, like, so stressful for me. Because as you guys know, I'm, like, a dancer, an actor. I'm, like, you know, working in entertainment, whatever. And I have auditions. And I have my teaching jobs. So if I can't go to work, I have no money and I have no opportunities, right? So if I don't go to the audition, I don't get a job. And this weekend, Noam was like very sick and like very ill. And it made me extremely anxious. Ever since I got COVID in March of 2020, every time I get sick, I get afraid that I am actually going to die. Mm-hmm. So... I try not to let it take over my life. You know, I try to live a normal life.
Live not in fear.
Right, but I was extremely anxious all weekend, and I remain to this day extremely anxious about it. Like, so our bed comes apart, as you know. So, like, I literally took our bed apart. I'm sleeping in the kitchen with a mask on.
Gianna, oh my goodness.
And like the past 4 days, I like have tried to not be in our house as much as possible. Mm-hmm. It just has made me very anxious about what I'm gonna eat because I don't feel comfortable using our kitchen. Because I don't want him to like breathe on the food. And he's wearing a mask too, which I really appreciate. Because the thing is I had 3 big auditions this week. Mm-hmm. So I've been preparing for these auditions for like 3 weeks already. Mm-hmm. So if I missed him because I was sick, I would have been like training for nothing. And like, it really would have personally like hurt me.
Sure.
So like that being said, I bought all this food that I was going to eat for myself. And I left it in my car. I bought like foods that don't go bad. Mm-hmm. So the past 2 days, all I had eaten was like this food that I had in my car. Mm-hmm. And when I tried to eat normal food again, when I was like, you know what? I think it's okay if I cook the food in my house and I don't eat it there. Mm-hmm. And so I like took it in the hallway. And 4 days in a row, my neighbor walked out of the door, the same neighbor, and saw me eating in the hallway.
Oh my goodness.
Like, he never is gonna want to be my friend now, and he looks like Logan Lerman.
Stop.
And it makes me so mad. But so I think he's gonna think I'm a freak now, which sucks because him and his girlfriend are next door neighbors, and I wanted to invite them over to play Scattergories. So now I can't.
No, you should do it anyways.
Anyways,
just redeem yourself by playing Scattergories.
But so then when I tried to eat my normal food again, my stomach felt so fucked up. I was so upset. And I'm like, do other people deal with this? Mm. You know, like, I don't know. That's just my experience the past few days. And like, so I really feel empathetic toward people with like anxiety around food and food aversion, because I feel like the past few days I've really been experiencing that.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. So that's what I wanted to share today.
Yeah. Do you feel like the like stomach issues that you had once you like branched away from your safe foods and like started diversifying your diet back to how it usually is was more a byproduct of the anxiety or more of a byproduct of like reintroducing those foods again?
I really think it was the reintroducing, because it was not an anxiety stomach. It was
very different. Oh no.
It was rough. And then also like, I don't know, I feel like just the whole combo of like I because I don't want to just be sitting in the hallway all day. Or like, I now have moved on from the hallway after my four embarrassing times to either my car or the bathroom with the door closed. And so that like limits the times in the day that I can eat.
Right.
And so I feel like I have to eat more when I'm there so that I can, it's like people that can't shit in public.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah. I got that.
So that's that, you know?
Yeah. That is difficult.
Cause feel... like the quantity of food and the types of food. Cause right. like the foods that I had picked for my car were like things that you could put in a cooler or like things that don't need to be refrigerated or cooked.
Mm-hmm.
So like pretty easily digestible in my opinion.
Yeah.
And like there was lacking fiber, I'm not gonna lie.
It's always the fiber that does it. Yeah. Well, I hope like the adjustment period is quick, if you will. I hope your system
Today I ate rice. Again. I ate rice and chicken today.
Nice.
And feel okay so far.
Good.
So,
like, the little stomach pads.
I was talking to my mom yesterday, and she was like, "You are dancing so much, you can't live like that."
Right.
I was like, "Do you think I want to live like this?" No.
It's definitely a temporary situation, and hopefully, Noam has a speedy recovery.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, stop coughing.
Did he test?
Yeah.
Is it? Negative? No! Gianna! Oh my god. Sorry to everyone that had to listen to me scream. I'm so
but
sorry.
Like, I'm negative. And remain to be. This is like how I sleep. I sleep in the kitchen in a, like a little sleeping bag. I like have like this one, and then I put this one on, and then I'm like this. I just like, I'm like this because we have all the windows open.
Right. I can't believe not one, but two times
you will be evading. And it's like not even his fault because like it was someone in his class came to school like.
Are you kidding?
And then was like,
my worst fear.
Maybe I should. Like, at least he was responsible. Like the first day he was like, something feels wrong immediately. I'm like, you're a good citizen. Yeah.
Praise. Let's all be like, Mom.
And like, he's so nice about it.
What was I going to ask? Oh, is this his first time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But it's like not that bad because he's like vaccinated and boosted and everything. He's okay.
Yeah, I'm glad. That's so scary. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Well, that's probably something else that people can relate to.
But just because like, we live in a studio. Yeah. And, like, that's, you know, my dad's like, oh, you should have just gone to someone else's house. I'm like, no, I'm not going to put someone else at risk.
At risk.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's very difficult.
But it's fine. Like, I just have to get through tomorrow because tomorrow is the last big audition this week.
Yeah.
And I feel, like, 100% fine. Like, just like the past 3 weeks, I've just had like allergies. I guess I'm allergic to my new neighborhood. I don't know. But like, I'm fine. Physically, I feel fine. Emotionally, I'm distressed, but a lot better than I was this weekend. And yeah.
Well, can I ask too?
Yeah, of course.
Other than. Obviously, like, engaging as many safety precautions as you can. How have you been coping with your anxiety? Or how have you attempted to cope with your anxiety? I'll put it that way, because I know we're not all, like, perfect when it comes to handling.
Pretending that everything is fine.
Okay, fair enough.
That's honestly it. Just, like, doing, obviously, is safely, you know, like, doing things I would normally do.
Yeah.
But today, like I laid outside in the grass for like 2 hours.
Grounded.
And he was like, do you want to go to the library or something? And I was like, no, I just want to lay here and pretend that nothing is wrong.
I love that, actually.
My Dios.
Yeah.
But I have I'm filming a self-tape tonight.
Exciting.
I'm this audition tomorrow. And then hopefully, I don't know, we'll see what happens. The gynecologist.
Oh, the oh no.
I haven't been in like 3 years.
You know it's time for them.
Jesus fucking Christ. No way. They're gonna fry me open with their little tweezers.
Oh yeah. Huge metal clamps.
But yeah, I don't know. It's just like I hadn't felt like that about eating things and like afraid about things in a while. So it was kind of like bleh.
Right. Yeah. But that's always jarring when like,
you know.
I mean, I'm glad though that you were still able like to prioritize safe foods.
Yeah.
In the moment when like the anxiety was at its peak. So it's not, I mean, even though it sucks that kind of like messed with your digestive system because you were not getting as much fiber as you probably usually do. The fact that you were still like prioritizing, like, I'm trying to keep myself fed as much as I possibly can while going through this. Yeah. And I feel like that's important.
I try. I really try.
Yeah, because I think like especially with, I mean, I'm only just like learning about what ARFID recovery can look like. Mm-hmm. And especially when it's like related to having like sensory issues mm-hmm. and food aversions that are more related to being neurodivergent as opposed to like a fear of some like adverse reaction, like having an allergic reaction mm-hmm. or dying. I don't know. Something like very extreme. That being able to, of course, branch out from safe foods when possible, but still like knowing that there's a place for safe foods. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I feel like it's good to prioritize that over, you know, like skipping a meal altogether.
Right. And then like, you know, hopefully, so Sunday is like, today is the last day of quarantining.
Yeah.
But we're still gonna stay this way until Sunday, which is like the 10 days of wearing a mask and stuff.
So, yeah.
Unless he tests negative before then, but I don't.
Yeah, my school at some point, I don't know if it still does, has a COVID policy that recommends testing negative twice, like within 24 hours of each other, to kind of use that as a marker to end the quarantine once you've done the 5 days. So if you have enough tests, that could also be
option. Have like 7 tests mm-hmm. Left, and I can always go to the library and get more.
Okay,
like, that's good. They will give you like one at a time.
Yeah.
But like, you can test positive for up to 3 months. And I don't know if I can live like this for 3 months.
You know? No, it shouldn't be. I mean, maybe I'm speaking out of turn and I don't know shit, but you shouldn't be able to be transmitting it for up to 3 months after the fact. It might still be like enough in your system, but it's not necessarily contagious at that point.
So that's, you know, he's definitely said he's going to test negative before going back to school, even like mm-hmm. even with a mask on, he just doesn't want to even go back without testing negative.
Yeah, that's valid.
So my new bed is in the kitchen because I felt bad. Like, I'm not going to make him when he's like, Gianna, I'm dying every 30 seconds. He's doing a lot better now, though. But like the first 2 days, it was like, like shit. But I'm like not gonna make him get up and move to the kitchen, you know.
Yeah. So.
If only
we still had COVID precautions in place and he could go stay at a hotel or go stay at a hotel.
But even when it last happened, when both my roommates had COVID and I didn't, that wasn't even a thing anymore. So
oh my god, that's so dumb.
Even though I have thoughts about how that situation could have been better, I will restrain myself.
Fair enough.
Moving on
to the Reddit questions.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want me to read them? Sometimes I'm good at reading. Sometimes I'm really bad.
You can read one.
Okay. Okay. So this Reddit post, so all the Reddit things that we get are from the r/fuck eating disorders, because I don't want to engage with any potential pro-Anna content. So this one is a pretty safe one to be on. So this one is titled Food Obsession in Recovery. Hey everyone, I'm 2 months into my recovery and I just had a little question regarding food obsession. I was wondering if you guys could share any experiences or give any advice. Smiley face. Okay, So we all know about food obsession when you have an ED, like all the thoughts of your next meal, watching mukbangs, what I eat in a day's cooking shows, going to the grocery store, looking at menus, etc. But I was just wondering when and how this disappears, ? And if it does. Spoiler alert, it does. Moving on. As I said, I'm 2 months in and I'm still food obsessed. I'm gaining weight on a meal plan, but still wanting to consume recovery/food-based content. It's becoming so exhausting constantly watching recipes on TikTok, thinking of my next meal and all that stuff. I just wish I was able to think about something else, lol. Does anyone have any experience with this? When can I expect thoughts to go away? And is it something I have to work towards, or is it something that happens naturally? Thanks, smiley face. Wow, they're so kind.
Mazel on your 2 months.
Hell yeah.
Listen, buddy. And I'm just kidding. I feel like when you're hungry, you just think about food. I don't know.
And that is a fact. Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like when you're in this situation, maybe it's different for you, Marie, but I feel like when I was in this phase of like, oh, I'm in recovery now, yippee. Like, but you want to just like watch food and not actually, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like my sister used to bake all the time.
Yep.
She would never eat any of the stuff she baked.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I see this question, I'm maybe wondering a little bit if, like, is this filling your food void a little bit?
Oh, I love how you phrased that, the food void. That's good. I like that a lot. Yeah, no, I think that the food void.
I'm going to write that down. I'm proud of that.
That's good. yeah, because I feel like there's kind of, like, a couple different things that I think factor into your brain being in this state where it's going to be obsessed with food because you're undernourished or in a restrictive mindset. So it's either you're actively in a body that is malnourished and you're in a body that is working to get back to its set point, if that's kind of what the trajectory of your eating disorder was like, and to be routinely well fed again. So not in this deprived state, if you will. So we're having increased thoughts about food in the hopes that that means that you're going to be eating more regularly and consistently so your brain can get out of that like famished mode. But another thing that contributes to kind of being in that mindset, and I think contributes to like the food obsession, is what you were mentioning, like this like more mental restriction. So it doesn't always have to be like actually engaging any kind of restrictive behavior, but mentally, when you've told yourself certain foods are off limits, I can't eat the food that I've baked, there are certain foods that are still labeled as like bad in your head, when you're still kind of engaging in that mindset around food and having that mental restriction, regardless of whether or not you do actually end up consuming those foods, I think it can kind of contribute to seeking out watching those kinds of videos, because typically, and especially because I know they mentioned like mukbangs and stuff like that, I know for me, the kinds of videos that I watched included all the foods that I said were off limits. Do you know what I mean? Because it kind of gives a little bit of that mental satisfaction, or there's that comparison there of like, oh, they're eating all of this, but like I could never. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Like, I can't believe they're doing that. Like,
literally. Right. So it's like a combination of living vicariously through them, but also at the same time, like feeling some sense of like superiority for not.
I mean, although I don't really feel that this question person is actively feeling that way.
Oh no, I don't think so. I mean, it to me, it sounds like they're probably in like a very solid place in their recovery. They're just in early recovery. Right. And I think, like, I mean, I can only really speak from my experience with being in treatment, but being in early recovery is really about kind of getting out of that survival mode that your body is in because it's been malnourished for so long. And in working to that, towards that, it just takes time, really, to kind of get to a place where your body feels like it's being fed enough consistently. So yeah. I think it just, like, takes time.
I mean, I also kind of feel like, I don't know, I feel like it could also just be, like, the novelty of it. Like,
sure.
Now yeah. You're giving yourself permission to eat whatever, and you have the ability to make whatever you want. Like, you don't have rules anymore. And just, mm-hmm. it's like, if you go to a buffet and there's so many options, you're overwhelmed with them.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to get everything, but there's so much to choose from, or like a diner menu. There's right. so much to choose from that.
Right. I definitely agree. I also wonder, and I'll say this generally because I obviously can't give any like legitimate advice as a layperson. But I've always been taught by my dietitians and nutritionists that mental hunger, specifically in the form of like thinking really a lot about your next meal, it is a sign of like mental hunger, right? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes, or like something I guess I would consider is even like operating on a meal plan, is that meal plan enough for you? Do you need mm-hmm. to be eating more in order to, again, kind of get out of that malnourished state?
The other thing I thought of is, so at SUNY Purchase, mm-hmm. literally I would just look forward to class being over so I could have lunch.
Yeah.
It could just be that nothing else in your life, you don't enjoy anything else in your life right now. Yeah. So you're like, at least I'll get food. Like, if I think right. about, like, that's one thing to look forward to in my life. So if that's the case, then find something else in your life to fix it on. I don't know. That sounds bad, but like, find other things that you can think about.
Right. I think,
like, actively keep yourself busy.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's helpful. I guess at the end of the day, like, for me, it really comes down to like, maybe like the why behind why you're thinking about food so much, because I think there's so many different reasons.
No,
so
it's, that's like, definitely more important, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, because I think, like, on one hand, you could be totally right. Like, combine the novelty of food with the fact that I know when I was in the depths of it, like, there was nothing enjoyable going on in my life. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, my food, or my thoughts focus around food solely because that's like all that I could direct my energy into. Mm-hmm. And so if you're doing fun things and things that are more enjoyable, and making plans that don't revolve around food, maybe that too kind of helps break this pattern of kind of categorizing your life by your next meal and when you'll mm-hmm. have your next meal. Because I think that for most people is like kind of a way that their day was structured when they were in their eating disorder. So it's like just another thing that you kind of have to unlearn as you're in the recovery process. Mm-hmm. But then I wonder, on the other hand, like, is worrying about your next meal specifically coming from a place of anxiety? Like, are you thinking about it because you're anxious about what you're going to eat, if you're eating enough, how, you know, because like, I think sometimes, and I guess I'm just speaking from my experience, when I was like in treatment, I was stressing a lot about my next meal simply because like I wanted to try to control as much of it as I possibly could, given the treatment setting that I was in. Do you know what right. I mean? Right. So it like came from a disordered and anxiety based place. Again, I'm not saying like this is what this poster is like talking about, but I think it's like worth exploring all these different reasons for why you might be kind of engaging in this food obsession. Is it simply because of mental hunger? Is it simply just because of where you're at in recovery? And yes, it will go away with time, and it's just going to happen naturally as you feed yourself consistently and eat enough. Is it coming from an anxious-based eating disorder place? in the mental restriction? Is it coming from that there needs to be other sources of joy within your life?
I think also, though,
yeah,
she specifically mentions watching recipes on TikTok. Stop liking recipes. Start liking different videos so that your algorithm
cultivate your For You page as much as you can. Also, do we know that? I just noticed you she pronouns, and I'm just not sure.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just thinking about it.
Yeah, they're. It says I think their name is. Never mind. I can't tell.
Okay, that's okay. We'll just use
that. For some reason, I thought it said Meg.
It does.
It looks like Meg.
It does look like it should be Meg, but it's not. That's okay. Yeah, anyways, that is a good point. I think for me, I reached a place where, like, it was no longer enjoyable to interact with these kinds of videos.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And so I think, like, if you can kind of figure out what's driving the behavior, and even if you don't know that 100%, I still think that there's ways that you could probably engage with some of this content less.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of, again, I don't think that's going to necessarily fully get rid of the food obsession itself, because I think it's usually comes more from an internal place than being like cultivated by your behaviors. Like, mm-hmm. I think the behavior can be cyclical in nature, but I don't think that's like the origin of it.
No, yeah.
So I think the less that you can kind of engage with that, like, oh my goodness, can I tell you how many like recipe pins I've posted
like recently or like
not recently? No, I hate
in your dark times,
in the dark ages, if you will.
I actually have been doing a lot of recipes lately because I have to cook for myself
and
another human.
I'm back and forth with recipes. They really stress me out and make me overwhelmed because I am too much of a perfectionist with it, and I don't know if it'll taste good, and then I'll have too much, and I'm only one person.
Okay.
So it's I don't
have that problem because no one is a human dumpster.
And we'll eat anything.
And I'll eat, like, one or two servings of something. He'll eat, like,
the rest of it.
Four.
Great.
So we're finished, but, like, I like cooking because it's the one thing I'm not a perfectionist in, because you can't see it.
Mm.
You can't tell if it's perfect or not.
Yeah.
It usually tastes fine. And if I don't like it, I can blame it on the recipe. I don't have to blame it on myself.
That is wonderful advice. Those are words to live by right there. I get really stressed out.
Relaxing to chop things. You get your anger out.
Yeah. Cathartic.
I'm done.
Murder
me now.
No. Did I have something else that I wanted to say? Oh, I want to say this as it relates to like the For You page and liking less recipes. Actually, I do save recipes on TikTok, but that's just because I need ideas. But yeah. I'm just like, I'm putting this out there. You could save 100 million recipes and like 100 million of those videos. The amount of recipes you will actually make is probably going to be like a handful. So like you're not missing out if you don't watch that content. Do you know what I mean? So that's that.
Chill girl or person. Yeah. Chill dude.
The TDLR. What? TDLR?
Tiddler.
Tiddler? Is that how you say that?
I don't even know what that is.
I don't go on the internet.
What is that?
It's like the in summation. The gist, if you will, of our response.
The gist.
TLDR. Chill. What?
Chill.
Hold on. I gotta look this
up. To do less talking.
Oh, TLDR. Okay. I don't know why I thought that T had to... Too long didn't read. Mine doesn't mean at all what I thought. Too long didn't listen. TLDL. So if you didn't listen to anything we just said, the TLDL is it will go away naturally with time. Mayhaps naturally. Think about why the food obsession is occurring for you.
And just like different videos.
Yeah. 3, cater your social media and algorithms to your recovery-based goals. Nice.
Okay, part 2. I'll read the next one.
Okay, go for it.
Here we go. had to deal with the I should restrict again thoughts. How do you deal with the okay, I've had my fun for many weeks, now I have to restrict again thoughts? I've gained weight and my ED convinces me that if I keep eating like this, I will gain indefinitely, which I know is not how it works, but my ED doesn't really care, and get high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, high cholesterol, and other negative health consequences. I've tried the food is fuel for my body mindset, but my ED always responds with, yeah, you need fuel, but you need a little bit less. So I can never convince myself. The mental struggle continues, I guess. Bom, bom, bom. You, Hilaros.
Hilaros. Nice. Okay. Here's my initial thoughts. First and foremost, I feel like I'm not an affirmations girly. Mm-hmm. I didn't really do that well with affirmations. And so I feel like I feel some commonality mm-hmm. with this poster in terms of like, I can rationally know something, but that doesn't necessarily help. Like, I'm very good at intellectualizing things. I don't think that, like, necessarily mm-hmm. helps me. So I will offer another affirmation, but I think sometimes, I think sometimes if you're not an affirmation girly, then don't try to convince yourself that way. Do you know what I mean? Like, you got to find a different route in order to kind of combat these thoughts, or if not combat the thoughts, combat associated behaviors, right? So I will offer food is medicine as the affirmation. This to me is a little bit better than food is fuel.
Yeah,
because I do think a lot of us, yeah, are like, you only need so much. It's fine. Like, we all think we're like the exception to like how human biology works. Right, exactly. But when you think about food as medicine and you think about it from the standpoint of like the reason that you're engaging in recovery in the first place is to recover from your eating disorder. And to do that, you need to, quote unquote, take your medicine in the same analogy as if like you need to take medicine for being physically sick. Right. Mm-hmm. Thinking about food as medicine and that, especially if you're working, with a nutritionist or dietitian that has prescribed you a meal plan, being able to follow that and know less and know that that's exactly what you need in order to advance your recovery. Jenna, you look like you're dissociating right now. Are you good?
I'm listening, yeah.
Okay, great. Just wanted to make sure. But you just like completely were not here, and I was like, is she good? Did I say something that made her go whoop? I'm not present not anymore. Good. Okay, good. I think like being able to think about food as medicine and it's what you need in order to recover, in order to get better, might be a bit more helpful than just trying to convince yourself that like kind of combat the thoughts directly, because I think mm-hmm. the eating disorder tends to not be very rational. So even if you're coming at it from a wise mind approach, it doesn't always help with like the feelings associated with those kinds of things. So that's number one. Number two would be, it is very interesting to me how gaining weight indefinitely
has anything to do with these.
Yeah, of high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, cholesterol, etc. Negative health consequences. I would, if
that
you have a therapist,
I would. That sounds pretty to me.
Well, it's just interesting to me too, because yes, you are correct. There is not a causation between weight gain or being in a larger body and these adverse health conditions, number one. Number two, I just think anyone that has thoughts around health and healthism plays a part in their eating disorder, that is very much worth exploring. Because, I mean, I've said this before, I don't give a shit about my health. So I feel like for me, that's not something I can necessarily relate to. I feel like in that point in time when I had this fear of gaining weight, it was very much body image centered.
Right.
So I think it's kind of worth getting down to the crux of like, what does that mean for you? Why is there this fear around these health conditions? What would it mean for you to have those health conditions? Mm-hmm. What would having those health conditions say about you, yourself? Like, what do you think about other people that have those health conditions? And kind of bring it back to that and see if you can get a little bit deeper than this more surface level thought. I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean like you have layers to your thoughts. And when you have this automatic thought of like, oh, I'll just keep gaining weight forever. And then you go down to the thought of like, that's going to cause health issues. What's underneath that? And kind of going down there to kind of figure out what are like the thoughts and feelings that are kind of behind that. So maybe it's not so much combating the idea that you won't gain weight forever, but kind of unpacking and unlearning whatever thoughts you have around these like health conditions. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like also this food is fuel mindset is like so shitty. Like,
really?
Just even that, like, I feel like food is fuel, but it's also meant to be enjoyed. And it's like a big part of culture and like a big part of connection. And like, you know, I feel like you have to see as food is more than fuel because that makes it so cut and dry, which some people need.
Right. I think there's like the time and the place for food is medicine, food is fuel. But I do think like the ultimate goal would be to say you're allowed to enjoy food. Food brings joy. Food fosters community. Food allows you to be in touch with yourself and your culture.
And also there's other foods that don't cause high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, high cholesterol, and like maybe avoiding foods that cause those things completely is concerning. But also you could also fulfill your recovery goals with your team or whatever in a way that would not have anything to do with high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, or cholesterol. Like I feel like for example, like vegan food has like no cholesterol in it.
But ironically, it has, you know how there's like good, quote unquote, good cholesterol, quote unquote, bad cholesterol.
Yeah.
Vegan food typically has the quote unquote good cholesterol.
Yeah.
But I recently got my blood work done. Spoiler, I'm vegan. If you didn't already know that, you should, but whatever. I got my blood tested recently and both my cholesterols were high. I'm very confused. So
it's genetic because my cholesterol is also very it's genetic.
It's never been high before, so that's
maybe it's stress. Blood work.
Yeah, it was just funny because she like wrote a note of course and she was like exercise more, eat less meat, and I was like I don't eat any meat, but okay. I agree. Also, let's not negate the fact that being underweight is more deadly than being overweight and can cause also severe health issues. I think we just like to hyper-focus on the ones that are associated with being fat, which is problematic.
Yeah. So this person, I guess you gotta do some little self-reflection and think about why you have to get to the root of why you are afraid of getting these diseases from being in a larger body, because it's not even, and then don't think of food as fuel maybe and think of it as
strive for joy,
a part of life.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's not it's like essential to life in more than one way.
Right. Definitely.
Cause like I don't know about you, but for me at least, this like food avoidance part of my eating disorder like seriously harmed a lot of my friendships and prevented me from making friends because I avoided the places where the food was.
Yeah, it's like food is everywhere. You truly can't escape it without becoming a hermit, basically. And that's no fun for anybody.
No.
So, in a similar vein, to kind of like broaden the scope of this question that it might be more applicable to other people, I feel like if you ever kind of get into the thought product pattern of like, oh, what if I just start restricting again? Oh, you know, I want to be able to change my weight, whatever it is, to kind of, as you were saying, Jenna, to think about the ways in which your life was not better when you were restricting. Like, fully think about what that comes with. I think it's very easy to kind of cherry pick the good parts.
Yeah.
And focus on that. And that's kind of in that moment. Because I can say, like, throughout my recovery, sometimes there is this very, like, intense feeling of, like, I just wish I could go back, you know, to the eating disorder, back to restricting or whatever. But it's
every
always
every time I get
this,
on,
like,
my period. I'm not even joking.
Oh my goodness, that's intense.
But it's like one day, and then the next day I'm like, what the fuck?
Right, for me it's always like, it's just this very specific moment where it's like, maybe all this other shit is coming up, you know what I mean? I'm feeling some type of way about myself, some type of way about my life, and it's, there's the glamorization of like, oh, but like, wouldn't it just be so much better if I could just be thinner?
Yeah.
Like, right now, if I could snap my fingers instantaneously. But it's like, you have to, I mean, sit with the feeling, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you just have to acknowledge that that's, you're in that grieving headspace sometimes. Sometimes I feel like it's grieving, at least being in recovery. But then at the same time, like, think about, like, was it really that much better being hungry all the time, being isolated from your friends, feeling cold? You know what I mean? Not being able to think. The fact that I now can't not remember anything.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, I know at the time I definitely was not aware of how much it was impacting me. And I know this now. So I think when you give recovery a chance and you give your recovered self a chance, it becomes a little bit easier. The longer you stick with it, to realize how much better choosing recovery is than choosing to restrict, even if those thoughts come up.
Yeah, stay safe. don't let it consume you.
Yeah.
I think grief is a good word.
Yeah, I feel like it happens. Doesn't happen a lot necessarily anymore, but I think there is like a grief.
There's a grief that is spoken.
What is that from?
Empty chairs and empty tables.
Misley Miz.
My friends. Sorry, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done now.
Oh, God.
You remember when we saw that movie in the movie theater?
And Gavroche freaking died. Oh my God, Donna, did I tell you that I read a book that was Les Mis, but in space? Okay, side tangent. This book was Les Mis in space, and I didn't know when I picked up the book. I didn't know, I had no idea. I clearly missed the very huge footnote at the bottom of the little inner corner sleeve that gives the summary that says, this is a retelling of Hugo whatever whatever's Les Mis.
But
right?
In space.
But in space. And I totally missed it until one of the character's fathers, the Cosette character, if you will, her name was Alouette. Wow, so different. And her father had a branding of his like prison number on him. And what was this prison number? 24601. And I was like, that tell me that's a coincidence. Tell me they had no idea. They just picked that number randomly. I was freaking out. And then, of course, I get later into the book. Not to mention this outer space that they're in, this planet that they're on.
It's called France.
It's not called France, but they all speak French.
Oui.
They say little French things.
Like, je ne sais quoi.
They say... Oui, they also say, okay, this baguette. Is so weird. Not that you would know this. I need to talk to someone who speaks French. But instead of saying fuck, they say frick. I was like...
Frick.
Like, where is this coming from? Is this an actual, like... Is that how they say it in France? Or were they just trying not to say fuck, so they said frick instead? But then it made me think of high school.
Do French people say frick?
F-R-I-C, in case you need
instead
to know.
Instead of.
Anyways, it was entirely Les Mis, and I didn't realize until I was a quarter way through the book, and then I was mad. I was really mad I didn't see it earlier. And then it was all coming.
No, that's not what they say in France.
That's not what
they say. Poutine.
Poutine?
Poutine.
Poutine? That's hysterical. Anyways, I will never know. But what was I trying to say? We were talking about
grieving.
I don't know if I have anything intelligent to say on that. I just think it's a part of the process, to be honest. Because it's also like, I think you also tend to like, there's like a lot of things to grieve. You can grieve your body. You can grieve that time in your life. You can grieve the time in your life that you lost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot that goes into it.
You can, I don't know. I feel like at this point, I don't grieve that time in my life at all. I just, like, grieve for the person that was sad, you know?
Yes. Yes, that was my last like therapy breakthrough.
Like when it's like, yeah. I feel bad because I could have been happier and I wasn't, and I feel sad from past me that was
right.
Like, so confused.
Yes, definitely, I resonate with that. And that's on also, growth, baby.
Speaking of, I think I figured out my sexuality.
A sexuality update, folks. Drum roll, please.
I think. The term is demisexual.
Aha!
I think that's it.
Yeah,
I
okay.
I got it now.
Great.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Amazing.
I feel comfortable with that, but I feel like I don't want to, like, really label myself.
Yeah.
But that's
it's still on the ace spec, so.
But that's still.
There's flexibility like, in that.
If I have to put a label on it, that would be the closest one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I was just having a whole conversation with Sophie Rice about sexuality recently. I feel like it's come up a lot.
Incredible.
A lot. In my own, like, personal thoughts and, like, mental health, I guess, if you will.
Right.
I don't know. If anyone has a good experience with being ace, let us know. I would like your help and advice.
I feel like... My experience is getting better.
That's good.
It was a little touch and go for a while.
Yeah. But you in like a good rhythm?
I'm in a good place right now. That's good. And there's a book I wanted to read about it, but I forgot the title.
Okay. Well, you forgot the title as in you'll never be able to read it because you don't know what it is anymore? Or
well,
like
I know
you don't
the
know it in
the concept of the book. It's about, it's like, it's saying that instead of like a sex. So like some people have like a high sex drive, some people have low. So it's like the concept is that sex drive has an accelerator and a brake.
Mm.
And like some people are just more sensitive on the brakes and some people are more sensitive.
Oh, wait, this is very
accelerator
interesting.
And brakes metaphor for sex book. It's called I I don't know, but I'll find it for you one day.
Okay.
You got it? It's called Pleasure is the Measure.
Okay.
No, it's not. That's a lie. It's called Come As You Are.
Okay.
But the Pleasure is the Measure is the author, the same author. Oh. That's why I got confused. By Emily Nagoski. Nagoski? Okay. And I want to read it.
I'm just going to write by Emily because that's confusing. I can't spell. Okay.
Come as you are. But it's spelled like normal cum, not like.
Okay, I was about to ask. But
No. She's like a medical doctor. She's a researcher. She's not going to make a fucking sex joke.
Okay. Well, I mean.
Because I was listening to this podcast called Couples Therapy.
Oh, okay.
And like, it's they're a couple and they're asexual, and like one person is sex negative and the other is sex neutral.
Okay. Interesting.
And someone called into their show and recommended this book. So.
Oh, amazing.
That's why I want to read it.
Great. Should do a book club.
Book club.
And I'll
has nothing to do with undercover.
No, not at all. Sorry. We decide to talk about ourselves at the end of the episode instead of the beginning. Maybe. No, I think we should start a book club. And that would be great. And then we can explore this sexual
trend. Anyways, guys, we hope we answered your questions.
Hope we answered your questions. Apparently, we have a lot of questions about sexual identity, but that's another topic for a different podcast.
Yeah, but if you have a question, please write to us because we love to hear from you. And we recently started checking our email inbox again. So
more regularly, yes. We know the password, so we're good.
Yeah, we know the passwords, so we're good to go.
Yeah. Where can they email us at, G?
serialfromthebox@gmail.com or DM us at serialfromthebox on Instagram. Or you can find me at Jana Bartolini. I just did some cool dance photo shoots, so hopefully you'll see.
Check it out.
Find that.
Yeah.
Yeah, here we are. Marie, do you want people to follow you?
You can if you dare. Ha ha ha.
Bye, bitch.
Bye-bye.